For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And right now, we are in the midst of this conversation called Win. And we're looking at how Jesus did not come and give his life just so that we could settle for ours. And how God is calling us to engage the battles that this broken world brings to us, that this journey brings to us, and to engage them in such a way that we would begin to win. We've been looking at this passage that's found in Ephesians chapter 6. It says to us, "A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil." So you'll be able to stand firm, so you'll be able to hold the hill, so you'll be able to win. He says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." And he's calling us. He says, "I want you to engage this battle." He says, "But I don't just want you to engage it haphazardly. I want for you to engage it to win so that you will be able to stand firm." And then as he continues, he begins to equip us for the battle. He says, "Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm." After the battle, you will remain firm. You're going to win. He says, "Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And he begins to talk them through, okay, this is what you need to win. And he not only calls them to engage the battle, to stand firm, to hold the hill, but he also begins to equip them. This is what it takes to win those battles, to stand firm in the midst of those battles. Last week, we began with salvation. We looked at the helmet of salvation. What does that mean in our lives? And remember, as we talked about last week, these things are not ours. This armor is Christ's armor. Isaiah, when it's prophesying about Christ, years and years before Christ comes, it says the Messiah is going to come with righteousness as his body armor. He's going to place the helmet of salvation on his head. Isaiah 11, he will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. This is Christ's armor that we have been given. This is not something that we create, something that we manufacture. This is not something that comes from us. This is something that has been given to us by Christ. He says, you need to take on the armor that Christ came with, that you need to take that from him that he has now given to you and engage the battle like this. Last week we began with salvation, but this week we're going to jump back to the top of that list and look at, okay, how do we begin to put these things on, beginning with the belt of truth. This is putting on the belt of truth. And this is where he starts. And I don't think it's an accident, because the belt is what holds everything together. And belts in my household are very important. Very, very important, because myself and my three little boys, we don't have a lot back here to hold our pants up. So belts are very, very important. If my boys don't have a belt or a really strong elastic waistband or a drawstring or something, it won't take long before there's a lot of butt. If they don't have that belt, there's going to be a lot of butt and things are going to get exposed. And so belts are very, very important. It's interesting, because I think in life, sometimes in life, when there's not truth, there ends up being a lot of butt. And things go wrong really, really fast. And he says, listen, the first thing that you need to pay attention to, the thing that's going to hold all of this together is truth. He says, put on the belt of truth. Now, we have an interesting relationship with truth. I think most of us would say that we're for truth. As a matter of fact, I would guess that almost all of us would say, listen, I'm for truth. If we were to go around and interview, are you for truth? I'm for truth. I want truth. I love truth. Until it gets in the way. Until it calls us to give up something that we want. until it confronts us with something that's wrong. And in that situation, we don't usually respond by saying, I don't want anything to do with truth. That's not usually our response. Usually our response is more like this. Well, I'm not really sure that's true. Or, well, we may just be reading this the wrong way. And what we start to do is we start to manipulate truth. And we start to develop our own idea of truth. We begin to compile our own truth. And we get to decide, okay, I'm going to take this and I'm going to leave that. And God, I really like it when you say this, but I'm not so big when you say that. And so we're going to leave that out and we're going to ignore this, but I really love this over here. And we begin to compile our own truth. And we live in a culture that treats truth this way, so it comes very natural for us. Because we live in a culture that says, well, you can have your truth and I can have my truth and we'll all make our own truths. And as long as they don't conflict with one another, then we'll be okay. And you just need to compile your own truth and figure out what's going to be true for you. And then I'm going to have what's true for me. And we come to God and we do the same thing. And we're like, okay, God, well, I'm going to take this little piece over here, but I don't really want so much to take that part. And I'm going to believe in this part, but I'm not going to believe in that part. And we begin to compile our own truth. I have a friend that talks about this in his story and him coming to know God. He said, for most of my life, I just took this from over here and this from over here. He said, I really kind of had a buffet God. I just kind of took what I wanted. And we live in a culture that looks at truth this way. So for us, it's very natural for us to do this. And we do this with God. Most of us, without ever thinking through the implications of it, most of us do this without ever thinking through the actual implications of what we're doing and what that means about God and what that means about us. And make no mistake about it, there are some huge implications to that in our lives. Massive implications. When we begin to come into this journey and say, okay, God, I'm going to take this and I'm going to leave that. I'm going to take this. And there are massive implications on what that means about how we see God and how we see ourselves. The first of which is this. When you begin to do that, you establish yourself as God. When you begin to engage this journey saying, I'm going to be the one who determines what's true. When you begin to compile your own truth, you establish yourself as God. Now you're the one who decides what's actually true. You're the authority. You are the ultimate authority. You establish yourself as God. Not only do you become the authority, but then number two, you also become the judge. You're the one who's going to judge what's right and what's wrong. You become the judge. And rather than coming to God and submitting to God, we come to God and ask Him to submit to us. So God, I want you to act like this. God, I want you to think like this. And we start to, because we're God, we create God in our own image. This is what I think God should be like. And so I'm creating this idea and I'm compiling this truth and we become God and then we also become the judge. And rather than standing before God as our judge, now God stands before us as His judge. And we're going to judge God whether or not you're right. And we're going to judge God whether or not what you say is correct or incorrect. We become the judge. And rather than submitting to Him, we now ask Him to submit to us. Rather than coming and saying, okay, God, I want to submit to what you say is true, we begin to compile this, and in all reality, we are saying to God, no, God, you need to submit to my idea of what's true. No, we don't think about it. We don't talk about it that way. But that's the implication. And you begin to take this and leave that, and you've now become the judge. I once heard an incredibly honest conversation about this. I was driving from Michigan to New Jersey, and it was really late at night, and so I needed to stay awake, so I was listening to AM radio. I know some of you think, wait, that's backwards. Doesn't AM radio put you to sleep? But there was this one program in particular that was just riveting, and this radio host would interview these really unique people. And this night, it was incredibly powerful because he was interviewing a witch. And he's engaged in this conversation with her about what it's like and why she does what she does. And as they're in the midst of that conversation, he says to her, well, obviously you don't believe in the Bible. And she said, no, I absolutely believe in the Bible, which shocked both him and me. He said, what do you mean you believe in the Bible? You understand that in the Bible, at the end, there's going to be a war between you and God. And the Bible says that God's going to win. And she said, he is going to win. He said, what? She said, he is going to win. She said, I've experienced God's power. He's more powerful than we are. She said, I've seen it. We're not going to win. We don't think we're going to win. He said, then why are you doing this? She said, I don't think God's just. I don't think he's right. It was one of the most honest conversations I've ever heard of someone who decided, no, God, I'm not going to be judged by you. I'm going to judge you. And none of us would say that. None of us would say that. But that is exactly what we're doing when we come in and say, well, I'm going to take this, God, but I don't really want that. We become the judge, and now God stands in our judgment. Not only do we establish ourselves as the authority, not only do we establish ourselves as the judge, but when you begin to do that with truth, you rob truth of all power in your life. Listen very carefully to this. Listen very carefully to this, because many of you are not experiencing God's power in your life because you have robbed truth of its power. You have undermined truth's power in your life, because what you've done is you've come in and you've said, okay, experience and my understanding and wisdom and knowledge is going to determine what's true. And you've decided to give your experience and your understanding and your knowledge, you've decided to give it authority over truth. Because you're going through and deciding, well, I'm going to take this and I'm going to leave that based on your experience and your understanding and your knowledge, not based on what God says. You're deciding which ones you're going to take and leave based on how you feel or what you've experienced or what you think about the world. You're the one who is the authority. And so you've given authority to those things in your life, and you have undermined truth. So when truth comes in and says, no, what you're experiencing isn't true, it doesn't matter, it doesn't have the authority to tell your experience that it's wrong. So this is, some of you have experienced this. God steps into your life and says to you, you're not valuable based on what you produce. You're valuable because I gave my life for you. But everything in your life says that you're valuable based on what you produce. Every experience you have says you're valuable based on what you produce. Every day you go to work and it says you're valuable based on what you produce. But God's truth comes in and says, no, that's not true. And you want to experience the power of God's truth. You want to be able to step away from that idea that I'm only valuable based on what I produce, because it's miserable and it's driving you into the ground. And you want to be able to step away from it. But God's truth doesn't have the ability to override your experience because you've given experience the power. You've given it the authority. So when God's truth comes in and says, no, you're valuable, your experience looks at it and says, no. You don't get to decide what's true. I do. And we're the ones who gave it that power. We gave it that authority. When we decided that we were going to take and leave based on our experience and our wisdom and our understanding, we give it the authority to undermine truth. And therefore, truth does not have the power to change our lives anymore. And when you begin to do that, you will experience in your life life-affirming truth. And what I mean by that is this. Sometimes you're going to experience truth, and it is going to affirm what you already believe, and it's going to be incredible in your life. But you know what you'll never experience? You're never going to experience life-changing truth. Because in order to experience life-changing truth, your experience must submit to a higher authority. This is why every major life change program calls people to submit to a higher authority. Why? Because they know you will never change if your experience continues to have authority over truth. It can't happen. There are major implications to this. Now, most of us have never thought through this. We've never thought through this. This is kind of the way that the world works. You just take some, leave others, and we're picking through, okay, God, I'm going to accept this, and I'm going to leave that behind. And in the process, we are ensuring that we will never experience God's power. And the victory that Jesus came to give us. We're ensuring it. Because when you become the authority, when your wisdom and knowledge and experience becomes the authority, when it becomes the judge, truth will never win. You've undermined it. And Jesus steps into our lives. Jesus steps into our lives and he says, listen, I want to bring truth. John chapter 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 1, right? Jesus comes full of grace and truth. Jesus says, I want to bring truth into your life. And then he says something that we all love. And even if you've never been in church before, you've probably heard this before. John chapter 8, he says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and what? And the truth will set you free. And we love that quote. We love that quote, and we love that idea, and we love to share that with someone that we disagree with. And we're like, man, if you just grab a hold of this, the truth will set you free. And we love to use it in all these different situations. But Jesus is stepping into our lives, and he's coming to us, and he's saying, listen, truth has incredible power, and truth can set you free. We started out in week one, and I said, I want you to identify the one thing that you want to find victory in, something that you want to take off, something that you want to get rid of. Maybe it's anger, bitterness. Maybe it's gossip. I don't know what it is in your life, but identify that one thing. And what Jesus is saying, listen, the truth has the ability to set you free. It has the ability to bring incredible freedom into your life. But because we continue to pick and choose, we have undermined its power. And we're not experiencing what Jesus wanted for us to experience in his truth. We have undermined its power. And rather than coming and submitting to his truth, we are asking him to submit to us. And for some of you, even right now, you're growing more and more frustrated with God because God talks to you about the power of truth, and you're growing more and more frustrated with God because God brings into your life these powerful truths, but you're not experiencing them, and you're getting frustrated with God because you're looking at God and saying, wait a second, I thought you said this, and he's looking at you and saying, yeah, but you have undermined my truth in your life. Jesus is coming and saying, listen, I want for you to know truth. And I want you to see the power of it in your life. I want you to experience the power of it in your life. I want you to know what it is to stand firm when those that would destroy you come at you with all the lies that they're going to bring. I want you to be able to stand firm. But in order for you to do that, you have to put on the belt of truth. You have to submit to my truth. And allow it to be the powerful force in your life that I died for it to be. For some of you, you're sitting here right now and you know that's you. This has been your journey. And you've never thought about it that way, but you have been asking God to submit to you instead of you submitting to him. And you've been compiling your truth, and you've been decided, I'm going to take this, I'm going to leave that, I'm going to... Listen to me. Jesus is coming to you, and he wants to bring you powerful, life-changing truth. And that can change for you today. That can change for you today. It doesn't have to be a long journey. It can change for you today if you be willing to come to him and say to him, God, I submit to your truth. I want for the truth to set me free. I want to experience the power of truth in my life again. I submit. This is one of those areas, again, where Jesus' strategy can confuse us about his mission. If you remember back at week one, I told you, sometimes Jesus' strategy confuses us and we don't think that it's about winning because his strategy isn't the strategy that we would choose. So for most of us, we wouldn't look at victory and connect that with submission. For most of us, we wouldn't think about victory in terms of submission. That wouldn't be our strategy. Even though if you've ever talked to someone who's actually engaged a battle, they understand the importance of submission. Anyone who's ever actually engaged in a true battle understands submission is crucial. And you need to make sure that you're paying attention to the one who's leading you forward so that you can move together. And Jesus says, listen, one of the keys to this is submission. And you need to submit to my truth. And he's calling you into that. And that can change for you today, for you to say to him, I'm no longer going to ask you to answer to me. Because I know when I stand before you, you're not going to answer to me. I'm going to answer to you. So I submit to your truth. When you do that, God begins to walk you through a process. Paul lays this out for the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, he's talking to them about how the Spirit is going to use truth. He says this, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. He says, listen, these are things in your life you got to get rid of. There's these battles you need to win that you got to get rid of. He says, instead, let the Spirit, what? Renew your thoughts and attitudes. He says, let the Spirit begin to come into your life and use truth to renew the way that you think about the world, to renew the way that you think about the battle that you're in, to renew the way that you think about yourself, to renew the way that you think about God. He says, allow the Spirit to come in and to renew your thoughts with truth and attitudes. The truth is, when you act on God's truth, it changes the way that you feel. When you act on God's truth, it changes the way that you feel. He says the Spirit's going to bring that truth powerfully into your life to change the way that you think and feel so that you can then put on the beautiful, powerful person that God created for you to be on this mission. So you can put on all that Christ gave his life to make possible in your life. He says you got to take this off. How do you take that off? You allow the Spirit to use his truth in your life to change the way that you think and the way that you feel so that you can then put on and experience the victory that Jesus died to make possible for you. And he calls them into this process. Here at Hoboken Grace, we talk about this in terms of put on and put off. What is it that you need to put off in your life? This is exactly what we're talking about in this battle. So we started in week one. I asked you to identify one thing that you wanted to experience victory in that maybe you've been, that you've given up on the possibility of winning. And you've tried and tried and tried, but you can't win. I asked you to identify one thing that you were going to begin praying and asking God, God, I want to experience victory here. I want you to walk through this process. Now, typically we have people walk through this with several different things, so anywhere from one to three different things, but I just want you to focus on one. When you walk out today, we're going to give you this sheet so you can put this somewhere where you can see it over and over and over again. But this is how we practice what Paul and what God's teaching us in Ephesians chapter 4. So what is it that you need to put off? What is it that you identified in your life that, man, I want to experience victory over this? Maybe you want to put off anger. I want to stop losing my temper. Maybe you want to put off demeaning the people around you. And you realize, man, sometimes I say things and they're just hurtful. Or maybe you just want to put off running your mouth and you understand, no, I need to get control of my tongue. Or you want to put off, for those of you who are married, dreaming about someone who isn't your spouse. You say, this is what I want to put off. Now, a biblical principle to change is this. You can't just take something off. You have to put something on. You have to replace it. You're not just going to change by saying, I want to eliminate this. Where are you going? Who are you becoming? And so what is it that you're going to put on? Well, I'm going to put off anger. I'm going to put on patience. I'm going to put off dreaming about what's on the other side, and I'm going to put on contentment. What is it that you're going to put on? I'm going to put off demeaning words, and I'm going to put on encouragement. And to identify, God, what does it look like to win? Not just, okay, how can I stop losing? What does it look like to win? Put off, put on. But it goes further than that. It's not just identifying the battle. This is really identifying the battle. You also then need to understand what is behind the battle. So at the bottom of the page, you see lies and truth. You need to figure out, okay, what is the lie behind my action? What is the lie behind my anger? And maybe it's the lie that I'm valued based on how people respect me. And so when I'm not respected, I get angry. Maybe the lie is that it's the grass is greener on the other side. And if I could just have something else, if I could just find that one perfect person, then I'd be happy. What is the lie behind it? And then to be able to identify, what is the truth? What is the truth that counteracts that lie? That lie that, no, I deserve better. What is the truth that counteracts that? Well, the truth is that I don't even deserve what I've already received in Christ. So therefore, in reality, I should live in a constant state of gratitude. Where is the truth? The truth is I'm valuable based on the fact that I've been adopted as his child, not based on how people respect me or what people think about me. And then to identify the truth, but specifically to identify the passage that communicates that truth. So the passage from God's word that communicates that truth. And then you begin to surround yourself with that passage or passages that communicate that truth. And every time that lie shows up, you attack it. You attack it. Viciously attack it. You do not give it any time to marinate. You do not give it any power in your life. You are constantly attacking that lie with the truth. It's interesting. I've noticed something that's very consistent in the lives of those who are very good at winning these spiritual battles in their life. I've noticed this. It's amazing how consistent it is. There's something that I see over and over again in the lives of those who are great at fighting these spiritual battles. You know what it is? They love Post-it notes. They love Post-it notes. I was at the home of someone like this recently. And when you look at her life, she has an amazing ability to be able to fight and win these battles in her life. And we had the opportunity to use their home. And every time I opened a cabinet, I was confronted with a Bible verse. Every time. Every time I opened a cabinet, I'd open a drawer, Bible verse. I'm going to the bathroom, there's a Bible verse. Everywhere I went in the entire house, I didn't know when it was going to happen. It was everywhere. There's just Bible verses everywhere. They're popping up out of everywhere. But this person had understood, no, the way that I win the battle is that I engage God's truth constantly. I surround myself with God's truth so that when those lies show up in my life, they do not have a chance. Remember we talked about last week? Satan doesn't have the ability. Those who would destroy you do not have the ability to take the hill from you. They can only deceive you into giving it to them. Therefore, they're constantly bombarding you with lies. And you need to be able to engage those lies with truth. Truth that has power because you've given it authority in your life. And to attack those lies over and over and over again so that you will stand firm. It's time to start winning. That means we have to submit to God's truth. And I'll judge him. He judges me. Submit to his truth. We give it authority. We give it power. And then we allow his spirit to use it to transform the way that we think and the way that we feel so that we can stand firm. And the reality is, it's up to you. What we're talking about, this is up to you. This isn't far from you. This isn't something that you can't do. You can do this. And it's up to you whether or not you're going to begin to put this into practice. It's up to you whether or not you're going to experience the power of God's truth in your life. The only thing that can keep you from it is you. If you're not willing to submit to his truth, if you're not willing to invite the Spirit to come and use that truth to change the way that you think, our thoughts and our attitudes, to practice surrounding yourself with that truth, it's up to you. And you can do it. You can do it. And you can know. You can finally know the truth of what Jesus meant when he said, the truth is going to set you free. It's time to win. Will you pray with me? Father, I want to apologize for those times in my own life where I've asked you to answer to me instead of me answering to you. Where I've set myself up as the one who decides and determines truth. Father, I submit to your truth. And I ask you through your Spirit to use your truth powerfully in my life to set me free. If you're here today, maybe you identify, no, I've been living as the judge. I've been living as the authority. And you realize that you need to submit to his truth. I want to invite you right now to have that conversation with him. To apologize. As the scriptures say, to repent, to change direction, to come to God and say, God, I'm not your judge. To submit to that truth and to ask him to use that truth in your life. To use his truth to change your thoughts and attitudes. That you might be able to take off those things that are destroying you. And to put on all that Jesus came for you to know and experience. Father, I thank you that you did not leave us in the dark to find our own way, but that you are working to lead and guide and direct us with your truth. In Jesus' name.